Welcome back to the Mining Pod. We have Asher Gannut of US Bitcoin Corp and Sue Ennis of Hut 8 on the show to discuss the merger between the two companies, a merger of equals. Really great conversation talking about the motivations for merging the two companies together, the finer details around the listing process, and lastly, US Bitcoin Corp's ongoing process of bidding on the Celsius assets, particularly the 100,000 plus machines that are under the Celsius sheet as of now. So we'll get to that in a second, but first, I want to make two quick announcements. First, we have an immersion mini-series coming up with two takeover podcast guests. So I'm actually not on any of these podcasts, but we have two experts in the Bitcoin mining field talking with immersion guests. We're going to have five or six episodes about that coming up pretty shortly here. So we're looking forward to producing those. Those will be coming out mostly on Sunday morning, so you can enjoy those Sunday afternoons. They're more technically inclined. There have been some great conversations, so definitely looking forward to releasing those. And then lastly, we have a new newsletter coming out. We'd appreciate if everyone can go and subscribe to that. Subscriptions for that newsletter really help us grow the product. It's called the Blockspace Newsletter, so go and subscribe to that. It's in the show notes below if you just take a second and subscribe to that. It's just a simple Substack form. So go and give that a subscription today. It'll be Bitcoin mining news, and then other Bitcoin news from your week, once a week for now, and then we'll gear up towards twice a week in the future. Okay, first a word from our sponsors, and then we'll get right into the show. Did you know that you can make more money by merge mining other networks? Check out makemoremoneymining.com for information on BIPs 300 and 301, a proposal to bring more revenue to Bitcoin miners through sidechains and merge mining called drive chains. Increase your mining revenues and learn more about participating in Bitcoin governance by visiting makemoremoneymining.com. Are you a miner who wants to activate Bitcoin improvements? Check out activation.watch. See what Bitcoin improvements the Bitcoin community, developers, and miners are considering and show support by signaling for one of many BIPs up for consideration. Activation.watch. Is your mining operation happening ready? Take control of your own future with the right energy strategy. Linkcoin Energy Trading Platform is a tool used by miners to design, monitor, and seamlessly orchestrate sophisticated energy strategies within electricity markets such as ERCOT, New York, and PJM. Avoid penalties, participate in demand response programs, and capture hundreds of thousands of dollars per megawatt per year by deploying the right block and index strategy. Secure your competitive edge at linkcoin.com. Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com. Welcome back to the Mining Pod. We have a new Bitcoin miner in the street, or at the very least, a merger of two. Asher and Sue, welcome to the show. Really excited for today's conversation about Hut 8, New Hut, and US Bitcoin. Welcome.
Hey, great to be here.
Thanks for having us, everybody.
Asher, yeah, great to see you again. Sue, as always, also great to see you. Asher was just on a few weeks ago, so we'll revisit some of those details about the Celsius conversation with US Bitcoin in a minute, but we have bigger, more pressing details, and that's about the new listing after the merger of US Bitcoin and Hut 8. So Sue, I'll hand it right off to you just to talk about what actually happened yesterday when we saw this listing.
Yeah, so we finally closed our deal officially on Thursday, November 30th, and then shares started trading as of yesterday. We're incredibly excited to now get this new story out to you guys, talk about really the significance of how we've designed this business, and particularly the operational expertise that US Bitcoin Corp brings. And obviously, we're going to get into it today.
Awesome. Okay. So let's jump right into the merger detail. So the new listing went up yesterday. I believe that you guys stopped trading shares for about 2 days prior to this. This has been in the details, or in the works, I should say, since February of this year. Tell me about the whole process to get there. What was like the promise to both the shareholders of US Bitcoin and Hut 8? And then let's go into like the finer details moving into like the last dates of listing here. Ash, I'll throw it over to you. Again, the question basically being, why merge here? Why merge with Hut 8?
So I guess two parts of your question. First is why merger for both sides? And then the second is the timing and the process that we went through over this last year. I think for the first is, as we look at the continued growth of the sector, we believe that consolidation is going to happen as we go into the halving, as there's larger scale miners in the ecosystem. and having a very strong operating base with a very strong balance sheet with access to the capital markets and different sources of financing is going to be extremely important as you manage through the markets. And so as we were kind of growing, we built a relationship with Hut 8 pre the announcement of the merger and really felt that it was something, it was an opportunity for us to be able to, 1 + 1, we felt like equal 3. Hut 8 was looking for a strong operating partner to help scale and build their business. We were looking for a strong partner on the balance sheet, really good understanding of the capital markets. And so when we spent time getting to know each other, I mean, culture is everything when you're building a team and when you're building a business that's very deep on people, connecting with another team that you felt like you had the same ethos, the same goals, the same kind of long-term vision. I mean, that's really what attracted us to Sue and the rest of the Hut 8 team and got us excited about the merger. And so I think this is an opportunity where we had two different groups with very distinct advantages and skill sets come together to be able to create a larger holistic company.
Yeah. So just to piggyback off what Asher said, I think for us too, we were really drawn to the operational expertise that US Bitcoin Corp has. These are the guys who stood up one exahash in 43 days, which is extraordinary. So we really like their track record of operational expertise. And we also really like the fact that this has now created a US domiciled company, which is now, Hut 8 is now a US domiciled company. And the significance of that is we're now finally eligible for indices like the Russell 2000. Mara, Riot, CleanSpark are all in this indice, and a lot of pension funds and institutions actually design their mandates based off of this index. So the fact that we're now eligible for some serious indices is also a really meaningful upgrade for us as well.
Tell me a little bit more about that, because I actually wasn't knowledgeable of that. So what does it mean to be included in an indice like that? And what does it mean to the potential like liquidity for both like the share price or at least just for the company itself? I know you guys can't comment too much on share price information, but what does that sort of like open up for you guys as a publicly listed company?
Yeah, so definitely obviously can't comment on share price, can't really comment on liquidity either. But for example, every year the Russell 2000 rebalances. And it's based on a number of different factors like market cap, like liquidity, and it's more in like sort of the small cap range. But you have tremendous institutions like BlackRock, Fidelity, effectively all the major pension funds who are looking for exposure to US small cap space, look at the Russell 2000 versus, for example, picking through, you know, the universe of small caps themselves. They just go to this indice often for their exposure to that. And so as a Canadian company, we were not eligible for that indice. And we now are, which is great. And that's something I'm really focused on, making sure that we get in there. Because again, if you look at, I think it's June 17th of every year, it's between the 17th and the 24th is the most highly liquid, volatile trading day of the calendar year every year. And that's because that's when the Russell 2000 does their annual rebalancing. So there's a tremendous amount of upside in terms of getting more investors, in terms of getting more visibility, in terms of getting more liquidity into your stock that is now available to us that was not available to us when we were a Canadian listed company. So I'm personally very excited about that piece as a catalyst for growth.
Awesome. Thanks for commenting on that. Let's go over to the listing process. So we had Jamie and Asher on the show, I believe it was this summer, just sort of talking about like what this whole process would look like when it was first announced. You guys were anticipating a merger. That was great information. Then we had to wait a little bit because the SEC had to look at all these different Bitcoin miners. After speaking with a lot of Bitcoin miners on my side and some that were listed and some were unlisted, there was just issues with the SEC on how revenues were reported. From your guys' perspective, what was sort of like the holdup to getting the merger completely across the finish line? What are some things you guys had to do? And then we'll get into all the fun details about kind of reminiscing on what the last few weeks has been for you guys. Asher, I'll throw that one up to you first.
Sure. So I think the timing of when we were going through our merger coincided with the SEC really wanting to understand how miners in our space recognize revenue, right? They want to understand from an industry perspective, are you recognizing revenue from a daily basis from when you get kind of your distributions from the pool? Is it an hourly basis, a second by second basis? And so there's a lot of conversations for them to understand truly how the business worked, how revenues, the relationship with miners and pools worked, how those contracts worked, et cetera. And so it was really working through in helping kind of build some of those concepts that they could get comfortable with. And because a lot of the other companies that they worked with were already public. So it was more about, okay, how do we respond to what you're already doing? Where ours was, do we agree with what you're doing to allow you to finish this merger, right? And so a lot of conversations to go through there and just kind of go through the natural process. I think it's important for the SEC to do what they believe is best in order to protect shareholders. And so it's our job to be able to respond and provide the best amount of information and knowledge to put us in the best suited place. And I'm always a believer. I mean, when we built this company as well, you build the right foundation, you can build an empire on top of it. And so even though it's a little bit slower to get things going, I think by us being in a good spot and having gone through all of that, now we feel really comfortable to continue to grow and kind of scale and post-merger. And as we mentioned, we just started officially trading yesterday. So excited to put that chapter behind us and to have a whole new chapter ahead of growing and building together.
I think also one thing that was really great, I think, for the industry overall is that we had a constructive conversation with the SEC. Yes, it took upwards of 10 months, but we got there. We executed one of the largest M&A deals in crypto. And the fact that the SEC was constructive with us and did facilitate this deal going through, I think is actually really pretty bullish and a good sign for the industry as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the interesting thing about all this, right? Is like all the SEC different dealings with crypto to date have been pretty negative. And mostly it's been on the exchange side, right? And so we don't have to comment too much on that. But whether it be with like Kraken or Coinbase or some of these other exchanges, mostly dealing with the staking side of things, it does seem like the SEC is much more, I don't know quite what the word is, but they're okay with mining a little more than the staking side of the industry, which is just interesting from an industry layman's perspective about how they like look at these different assets out there.
And to Sue's point, I mean, it was almost $1 billion transaction. So it took time, but we got through it and it got approved and now we're public, right? And so I think, albeit it took some time, but I think this is a good kind of signal to the market that like if you do things the right way and you do things properly, there's support, especially on the mining side of things.
Definitely. I'm interested from like a business perspective, how did you guys kind of use those months in between to keep growing both sides of things? I would just anticipate that you'd be really focused on the merger and it'd be kind of hard to like focus on anything else. But what was sort of like the game plan as this sort of dragged out longer than you guys were first anticipating? Because to my knowledge, you guys were planning a movie a little bit quicker, but perhaps not. Sue?
We certainly were. And I will say this is where the drive and operational fortitude that the US Bitcoin Corp team brings and creativity in terms of how they structure deals, they still managed to do all of the above, despite us being in this sort of like freeze frame for 10 months. So Asher, maybe you can share some of the stuff that you guys were able to execute during this process.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, we're builders, right? And so no matter how much you tie our hands behind our back, we're going to want to build and we're going to figure out ways to try to build. And so I think last 10 months, like we had to build in a very conservative manner where we weren't able to do a lot of things we would have otherwise done if we were already post-amalgamated. And so I think we still were able to find opportunities for growth. We were on last time chatting about Celsius. And so that was a big area of focus this year, the other projects that we worked on, other growth initiatives. And so we're very excited now that there are no kind of hands tied behind from a perspective of going through a merger and being able to do things, but not others. And now we can just be 100% focused on executing and growing and building and making the business efficient. And with Hut 8's assets on the Canadian side, I mean, as soon as a merger closed, we started getting on calls and saying, all right, how do we start executing and making impact immediately? And so we're very excited to optimize our current fleet of assets that we have, both with self-mining and our managed services, but extremely excited for kind of all the things that we wanted to do, but we kind of had to sit on our hands a little bit during this merger, where now we can kind of really go after those opportunities and grow.
And even some of the low-hanging fruit. So look, it's no secret that Hut 8, we've had problems at our Drumheller site for almost over a year now. And now that we are finally closed, we can start employing US Bitcoin Corp's managed services program, which is focused on site optimization, fleet optimization. They have a proprietary software focused on like maximizing and energy hedging and trading. So all of this will be super helpful and is the low hanging fruit in terms of almost immediate impact that we can start focusing on at least Hut 8 side of things. And even things like, so for example, we had a third site called Far North in North Bay, and we had to shut that site down about a year ago because there was some, you know, litigious issues that happened with the owners of that site. We've now entered into a stalking horse bid for all four of the power plants in that company's portfolio. That's 310 megawatts of power. I'll remind your audience that that site actually had a little over 5,500 machines plugged in that have been sitting offline. So these are all low-hanging initiatives that we can execute on in a very fast manner now that we are finally closed and working together as a team, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, that's what I want to dive into next. So thanks for moving us over there. Let's talk about like how the strategy is going to change from here. The first thing I thought of was Hut 8's big bag of Bitcoin. Like, you guys have been holding on to that for quite a while, and that's been of interest to a lot of people who are looking to invest in Hut 8 or just interested in Hut 8, the company itself. How are you guys thinking about the financial side of things now we're going into both a bull run and now that you have a merger? There's obviously a lot of opportunities to expand at the moment. And we saw Riot just put out a new issue for purchasing a lot of MicroBT units. We've seen CleanSpark do a lot of aggressive M&A over the last year. I mean, we could just probably go down the list and talk about different miners you guys are naturally competing with. And now with the merger, you guys both have a lot of different strategies and assets you guys have to tie together and figure out. So what does that look like, I guess, over the next 90 to 100 days?
We have one goal, and that goal is to maximize our return to shareholder value, right? It's pretty simple. It's not about telling great stories, growth, et cetera. It's what is the best way to return the most amount of value to our shareholders. And so I think for us, like, it's really important that when there's excitement in the market, to get not overly zealous and start jumping into that hype, being very thoughtful and methodical about that growth. Because if you think about it, during the bull run of 2021, everyone raised a lot of money, they grew a ton, et cetera. And we built about 87 megawatts during that time. And then when 2022 hit and 23 happened, we went from 87 megawatts under management to now almost a gigawatt, 1,000 megawatts under management, right? And so, like, really trying to figure out the best ways to grow that are at the lowest cost growth and the best return to shareholders, regardless of kind of what vertical. So today, we're pretty diverse within kind of our digital asset sector. We have self-mining, we have co-location and hosting, and now we also have managed services / property management, right? And then we announced that we put our first PO in for our first AI cluster. We have the HPC business. And so it's being very thoughtful on where we see an opportunity to maximize the return for shareholder value, meanwhile mitigating as much risk as we can. And so maximizing upside with a protected downside. And so with that, we'll be aggressive like everyone else in growth and be very focused on growing the business, but doing so in a very thoughtful manner, because the reason we're here today, the reason Hut 8 has a strong balance sheet, they're very thoughtful in their balance sheet management strategy, the reason we were able to gain scale is we didn't just jump on the wave when everyone was like, buy, buy, buy. We're like, okay, how do we do it thoughtfully? How do we structure these deals appropriately? So I think short answer is, well, we're excited by growth and we'll deploy the capital in a way that as we look through kind of the years, we'll have the best return to shareholder value in the most and least dilutive way possible.
I think also in terms of near term, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, one of the things that I'm pushing for and that we're working on internally is increasing our disclosures so that the market understands really some of the incredible nuances of this business that we haven't really let you guys in on just yet. Like, you haven't seen our combined company operational report yet. And so those are some of the things that I'm personally very excited from a data perspective to be able to get to the market so that analysts can really start stacking us up apples to apples versus our peers, because they haven't really been able to do that or pull the trigger on that while we've been in this, you know, pre-approved merger process. So that's something I'm extremely excited about, to, you know, give you guys more data, more information, so that you can really see like the behemoth that we're building here.
Definitely. And I want to go back to something you said earlier, Sue, which was about the stalking horse bid. So you guys are still looking at expanding in Canada just based on like prior assets that Hut 8 has owned or has operated within in the past. why do that when US Bitcoin is bringing all these different sites to the table, whether US Bitcoin is operating them or outright owns them or has some sort of deal in between? Why not just stick with the new assets you guys are bringing to the table as opposed to expanding into those other things you guys have?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd be one of the first, potentially, if we are successful in this bid, we'd be one of the first fully vertically integrated data center companies. Also, vertical integration across the entire value chain is a really big driver for driving down OPEX costs. We like the power portfolio, particularly where it is in Canada, because it is in a more competitive market on some levels than where we are in Alberta. There's optionality to sell back to the grid. You know, potentially we could build high performance compute data centers there. We could continue mining there because the North Bay facility has been retrofitted for mining already, because that's where we were mining before we removed our machines. So we love the optionality. We love the flexibility. And effectively, you know, how I see Hut 8 now moving forward, and you can see this in our corporate overview, is you effectively have like a Hut 8 holding co. And then you have Hut 8 HPC, Hut 8 managed services, Hut 8 self-mining, ideally Hut 8 power. And sort of like the Berkshire Hathaway of Bitcoin is kind of how I look at it. And so, yeah, Asher, did I miss anything there?
Yeah, so I think just two points that on that topic is, one, just diversification. As you grow, it's important to not have concentration risk and to diversify the amount of exposure you have to different energy markets, different grids. And as Sue mentioned, control your destiny on power generation as well and kind of those costs, right? So I think that's point one, diversification. And the second is, I mean, our business is pretty simple. As we think about the post-amalgamated Hut 8, we're really maximizing value at the intersection of energy and infrastructure, right? So let that kind of settle in for a second. So all of the workloads that we have are high intense energy consumption, right? Whether it be HPC, AI infrastructure, and Bitcoin mining digital assets. And so building infrastructure to maximize the value of those electrons. And now if we have power generation as well, as Sue mentioned, we can direct that towards our digital asset facility, like the North Bay facility that was there, mine Bitcoin when it makes sense. We can sell that back into the grid when power prices make sense. So now we do it as a consumer of power, right? We shut down our data center, and we, in Texas, for example, we'll shut down our data center, we'll liquidate the hedge or participate in ancillary services and bring that energy back into the grid. And now we get that extra piece of economics because we're at the source of generation as well. And we get basically that ability to arbitrage those electrons and how we see fit. And so when you think about your ability to kind of trade those electrons and arbitrage those electrons, the more integrated you are within the value chain, the more optionality you have at different types of structuring to be able to maximize that value. And so I think, and again, this is an opportunistic situation as well. And I think that starts, as you see, as our business is like becomes a key. It's not just, hey, we'll go pay anything to go buy a power generation facility. It's, hey, there's a really interesting opportunity. We believe we can get these assets at a really great price that will drive a lot of return for our shareholders. And so figuring out ways that we can be opportunistic as there's ebbs and flows in the market to be able to capture value and capture assets and create realized return and kind of levered return for our shareholders.
Definitely. Oh, go ahead, Asher.
No, I mean, don't forget, like, Mike and I had founded US Bitcoin a little less than 3 years ago, right? And so today, as a part of the post-amalgam company, we're major shareholders of the company. And that means, like, our sole drive is returning the value of those shares, because in my mind, the value of those shares is what I'm working for, right? We have our salary, et cetera, but really, like, my net worth is in the value of these shares. And so you'll always hear me kind of focus and talk and think daily about how to return value on the shareholders.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up. I mean, there's been a lot of discussions, obviously, within San Francisco kind of scenes about like founder-led companies and how those sort of perform a little bit better. Speak to me a little bit about that, since Hut 8, obviously, was a public company and had lots of different shareholders within it. And then you're bringing in a private company that you guys raised a few different times. But if you guys are majority shareholders and coming into this, what does that kind of look like from a leadership perspective? How does that change things merging like a public and a private company?
Yeah, so look, we have a large stake in the business, right? It's all public how much we own, et cetera. So people can look that up. We don't have a majority block of the business, right? And so there's still very kind of clear corporate governance. We have a 10-person board and so forth. But I think it's alignment of incentives that's really important. Is now you have like strong leaders within a company that their main goal is, how do I maximize the value of these shares? And that is fully aligned with shareholders who are buying the stock. And so as we think about kind of growth of the business, I mean, this sector, the reality is there's a lot of mechanisms of growth is through dilution of shareholders, right? And so when you look back at all these mining companies, what they built, I think it's really important also to figure out how much has been spent to get to where that's built. And so if the value that we're trying to maximize the value of each share, it's how do we build in a way that creates incremental return on people's ownership of the company, right? And so I think that alignment of incentives is really important. It's what has allowed us to succeed at US Bitcoin and what we hope to continue to drive in New Hut.
Definitely. And one quick question for clarification. This was a merger of equals, but it did change the ownership shares for anyone who was owning Hut 8 shares before. So can you add a little clarification on like what this meant for people who were prior just holding Hut 8 shares? What went about when the two companies merged?
Yeah, so we did a 5-for-1 consolidation. So every 5 shares you have was then gets rolled into 1 share, but then obviously the price of that 1 share also would be 5x'd. So that happened yesterday. I'm getting a few notes from some shareholders that there's still a bit of back office, I think, glitches happening between Computer Share that has nothing to do with Hut. This is just some back office trading platform stuff. So if anyone is having issues with that, please contact the back office of where you hold your shares, talk to them. Cause I'm hearing there's still some glitching happening, but yeah, we did a 5-for-1.
And Will, so just to clarify that, right? When the merger happened, whether 5-for-1 or not 5-for-1, the amount of shares held is still 50-50, right? It's just the number of shares have changed, but relatively speaking, it's just the total quantum of shares, it was 50 to Hut 8 shareholders and 50 to US Bitcoin shareholders. And instead of owning, call it 50 shares, now there's 10 outstanding, but instead of 25 and 25, it's just 5 and 5. So it's still 50-50, it's just a number of shares have changed.
Yes, thank you for that, Asher. And also the outstanding share count also changed. So for Hut 8 holders, it went from 220 million down to now where total shares outstanding is about 88 million or so.
Gotcha. Thanks for that clarification. Let's go lastly to Celsius. So Asher, last time we spoke, it looked like Celsius was going to be working with Fahrenheit. Fahrenheit was a conglomeration of a few different entities, including US Bitcoin Corp. How have things changed since then? It's been a few weeks and there's been a few headlines speaking about like the SEC's view on some of like the staking side of this business. And it might not go forward with that aspect. But it does look like the mining side is going forward. But I'm going to give you some space here to kind of walk that out.
Yeah, so we heard back from SEC, and a lot of this is public now. There was just a court hearing last week. And so we confirmed the bankruptcy, right? And this was a call almost 2 weeks ago or so. And then afterwards, SEC came and gave for guidance. And they're like, hey, we understand the mining business. We get this business. We understand it. We're comfortable with this. But Ethereum staking, we're not so comfortable with. The other loan assets we're not so comfortable with. Primarily, it also has to do with what assets can be auditable versus not. The mining business was a pretty clear business within the Celsius entity because it was a separate entity that had its own financials, that had its own audits, where the other assets were kind of mixed in. And so we're still trying to figure out what assets can be can move over and kind of, it has a lot to do with kind of the historical traces of these assets, the audits around them and whatnot. But the overall general gist is, we're comfortable with a Bitcoin mining company. We're not as comfortable with this holistic crypto company, primarily kind of ETH staking. And so spent a lot of time, Scott was on the mining podcast with me last time when we were on. And so spent a lot of time with basically the UCC, the Celsius company, and just saying, we said, look, like we were here from day one because we believe we can really drive value to these assets. We have a lot of infrastructure. We have the knowledge, we have the know-how, and we believe we can really create value for creditors and for ultimate shareholders in this entity. And another thing too is, I mean, this is more on a personal front, is what has happened with Celsius, FTX, and so forth is really bad for the ecosystem. And so if there's any way that we can contribute to turning a bad situation into something that's good, like we want to be a part of that as well, right? We think there's an opportunity here where creditors will be able to get a lot of liquid crypto back. In this scenario, they'll be getting even more liquid crypto back, and we'll be able to take kind of this illiquid pool of assets and kind of more or less distress and turn it into a successful business that people can have equity stakes in. And so last week, there was a Bitcoin-led bid that we put in where we would basically be providing the same services. And so within the Fahrenheit bid, but primarily focused around mining and driving kind of growth within the mining business. And so kind of similar concepts to what we talked about last time when it came to mining. We still have all the mining assets. We're still capitalizing the company with a strong amount of capital to be able to grow the business. The biggest difference is we're not going to have kind of the Ethereum staking and some of the liquid loan books and assets.
And in terms of what we disclosed with respect to our post-merger portfolio, Celsius, we do have about 8,500 machines that are being hosted right now with US Bitcoin Corp. So that has taken our hosting portfolio from 220 megawatts to about 250 megawatts right now, on top of the 680 managed services, on top of the self-mining. So it was really nice to see that accretive uptick in a very short period.
And just for some clarification here as well, is the deal somewhat finalized with the new Celsius agreement here, Asher, or is it still sort of in process in terms of the latest update?
Nothing's done until it's done in bankruptcy, right? And so we're going through the process and we're going through all the steps and everything that kind of we're filing, we're updating in the bankruptcy courts on kind of a scheduled basis. On the next hearing is later this month. And so we're working hard. We're working to drive kind of value, and we're looking at opportunities to drive value while the company's still in bankruptcy, like Sue mentioned, hosting 8,500 machines and being able to drive additional kind of revenue for those assets that would have otherwise been in storage. And so I guess short answer is we're working hard. Nothing's done until it's done, and we'll be working relentlessly to kind of bring it to the finish line.
I'm going to ask for some math really quickly here off the top of your guys' head. So it might be a little unfair, but maybe you know this as well. What would this sort of look like within the portfolio of the new company in terms of like revenue generation, or just in terms of like machines hosted? Something like a simple metric for anyone who's interested in the brains to know about.
I'll let Ash do that with what is publicly available.
Yeah, exactly. So this is all out there. The beauty in the bankruptcy courts is you have hundreds and hundreds of pages of all, kind of everything out there. Even the contracts that we're signing are all posted publicly on the bankruptcy courts, and so. Kind of general gist is there is about a little over around 122,000 ASICs, right, that we would be taking management over. The percentage of those are hosted with third parties, and a percentage of those are self-owned. Currently, there's kind of a percentage hosted, a percentage self-owned, and then a percentage in boxes. And so there's about 87 megawatts across four facilities that we'd be taking over and managing that's currently existing. There was a big announcement we made a month or two ago that we helped Celsius and Core come to a resolution on some of the claims they had against each other. And that resolution was a Cedarville facility. And so there's an interim agreement that's posted in the bankruptcy courts that they're looking at us helping basically build that 200 megawatt plus facility for them in their interim, even before things become effective. And so overall scope is you have around 400 megawatts, about 122,000 machines. And we're going to have over 300 megawatts of kind of self-owned infrastructure with Cedarville built out in the existing fleet that they have. And then in terms of the contracts that we have with them, again, pretty publicly bid, it's a four-year agreement that can flex up to 5 years if we hit some milestones and metric bonuses, or go down to 3.5 years. And it's about, from a cash perspective, a little over $20 million above our costs on a yearly basis, plus basically equity from an RSU and warrant upside. So we have full alignment, and we'll be investing into the business as well to have a stake into the business and to align our incentives. This kind of goes back to what I talked about earlier. I think incentive alignment is really important. And so by us investing into this new co, we'll have alignment with the creditors that will become shareholders to ultimately drive shareholder value and not just be a service provider that just makes a fee and kind of does the work, but to really help drive growth as well.
I think what's really interesting too, and we have disclosed this in our corporate overview, is if you zoom out and look at just the amount of global hash rate that is under management with one company, we're north of 1.1 gigawatt with deals like Celsius included. And if you look at the total gigawatt of the total global hash rate gigawattage is like about 15 gigawatts or so of the total global Bitcoin network. And the fact that we're effectively managing 1/15th of that, I think, is incredibly meaningful. Something I'm pretty excited about.
That sounds like a tall task and something I would not be up for, but I'm glad there's people taking care of the Bitcoin network themselves and, you know, doing it on behalf. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today, Asher, Sue. Where can we find out more information as it comes forward with Hut 8 post-merger?
Yeah, so you can certainly go to hut8.com. I am at Big Suey, BigSuey on Twitter. Asher, I don't remember your handle, but Asher
on his also. It's just Asher the Newton.
Asher dodges social media. Yeah, yeah. He's on there with us. Which is probably good. That's why he's getting so much done.
Yeah, we'll be doing updates all the time. And we actually have our first Twitter spaces today at noon, and we'll probably be doing those on the regular as well. So
awesome. Well, thank you guys so much, and we'll speak again with you soon.
Thanks guys. Bye.